This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
All right, Waddle and Sylvie on the air. Phone number, as always, is 332-3776. Waddle's in the First Midwest Bank studio. You can watch him. You can enjoy him. You could soak up all the sights of twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
No touching.
What? What's that?
No touching in the Twitch room.
No touching in the Twitch room?
Yeah, there's no touching.
Okay.
Sort of like being in the champagne room, right? I'm asking you.
Right. You are correct. The 6-foot barrier now is not just for the champagne room anymore.
Right. I was they were ahead of their time, weren't they, with regard to the social distancing?
Yes. I used to tell
the story. Experiences?
Tampa Bay. Tampa used to have the best city in the world used to be. It was better than
Tampa
Vegas.
Too. Yeah. You get in the back room. They were running the Tampa 2 on you.
Tampa 2. You'd go to Mons Venus. Then you'd go to Odyssey 2000 or whatever it was called. That was the Tampa 2 right there.
Right.
And then
social distancing practiced.
I'm telling you, there was a U-shaped bench around the entire bar, and it was just one person next to another person next to another person, and it was like you've never seen anything like it. And
I
you're
hope
like,
I never do.
And then they made a rule then because it was just so crazy that there then had to be a 6-foot barrier between you and them.
They were ahead of their time, obviously.
They were, right.
Social
and now,
distancing.
Yes, right. They basically, and then, yes. It's your memory is very, very good about some of my travel stories covering the Bears back in the day.
Were you wearing a mask when you entered? Were they also ahead of the, were they ahead of the curve, so to speak, back then on that front as well?
No, okay. No, not a pasty to be seen. Not in my face or anywhere.
Okay.
No, nuh-uh.
All right, then. Okay. All right. Nice start to a Thursday.
Yeah. I was, by the way, I was just on the air in Florida. I was.
Just randomly? You called the show?
I decided to do some Miami talk radio today. Yeah. They had the dumbest conversation, and Mark Hochman promised me to ask you this question because you're quirky enough to agree with him, okay? Mm-hmm. He brought up to me, he said, if you put croutons in a bowl.
By the way, just for the record, I can eat a bag of croutons as a meal. I love croutons. Go ahead.
So you're perfect to ask
I
this.
Love them.
You take a bowl.
Yeah.
You get a spoon.
Yeah.
And you put croutons in a bowl and you pour milk over
No. Salad dressing.
Well, no, that's not the question. This is their topic, not yours.
All right. My bad.
His theory is the croutons now become cereal.
I would disagree with that. I could probably make a meal of it. It wouldn't be a destination meal for me. I think there's a different level of, on cereal, you're getting more sugar. Like if I'm getting a good Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which can mimic a crouton in some ways, probably.
Well, a grape nut is similar to a crouton,
a
right?
What?
I mean,
excuse me?
A grape nut.
I don't think so.
Don't you remember grape nuts?
Yeah,
they
have
no sugar on it.
I don't think that's like a crouton. Crouton's like a piece of bread.
I know that. I'm just saying
you're trying to compare
sugary.
A nut to bread.
No, I'm what he's saying basically saying is if you put it in a bowl and put milk in it, does it become cereal?
Right. It's okay. And I told him he's crazy.
Okay, yeah, the seasoning on a crouton is like more of an Italian seasoning and something that isn't like morning food delicious to me. I would not be a fan of milk on a crouton.
Let me flip it on you. You have your Waddle's World stories?
Okay,
so I gave you a story today. And it has a picture attached to it that there is a pizzeria in Iowa, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
That has taken Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
And put them on a pizza.
And
is that cereal or is that pizza? Because if you're saying, if you just put it in a bowl, put milk on it, it's cereal.
Oh, it's
Sylvie,
pizza.
If you take cereal and put it on bread, does it become pizza?
It's pizza with cereal.
Yeah, because like, I look, that would be like, what's this if you put sausage on it or you put bacon on it? It's not a bacon. It's a pizza with the accoutrement.
But milk cheese is dairy.
I told him it was his worst take ever. His theory was, he goes, what makes cereal being cereal exactly? He goes, anything crunchy, you put in a bowl, pour milk over it, it then becomes cereal. And I go, if you go down to Prime 112 and you get a steak, you put that in a bowl and pour milk on it, is it now cereal?
Milk
he goes,
steak.
No, it's not crunchy.
Milk steak. No, it's a
milk steak.
Yeah.
You know,
milk
so then he goes, it's got to be crunchy.
Boiled over hard.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I go, well, if you put Doritos in a bowl and pour milk on it, that's
a good
not
point. That's
cereal.
Right. I don't think the crunch factor...
Cereal is cereal.
Yes. I don't think the fact that it's crunchy makes it a cereal. I think, you know, there is such thing as a breakfast food called cereal, and it has its qualities and its makeup. And I don't believe if you took a tasty crouton or a group of tasty croutons and put them in a bowl and poured milk on them that you would feel like you were having cereal.
Right.
I don't. No, I think that that's a bad take.
Hold up. I'm confused. Why is he putting milk on croutons?
It was stupid. I told him. I said,
but that's something he does.
I said to him. He brought this up at the beginning of the hit that I did with him. I told him take Skip Bayless's worst take and then multiply it by Stephen A. Smith's worst take, and this is how bad your take is.
Did
about
you come
croutons.
Away with about $12
million?
Mix
in a little Nick Wright in there and just kind of.
But at the end of the day, like I said, you walk away with about $12 million. Oh, so, yeah, you know, you're fine
true.
With
that's
it.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
something, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are we?
Wait, so he eats croutons with milk?
I don't know if he's his.
Or is this, he was just giving you an example of turning something that's not cereal into cereal.
His point was, what makes cereal cereal, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I think it's the concept, right? Because like to the pizza thing that Abdallah brought up, you guys have had dessert pizza, right? That's what this Fruit Loops on a pizza is. There's no like marinara sauce on it. It's all
it's
dessert
white.
Stuff.
It looks
yeah, right. Like
yeah.
it's probably icing, right?
Yeah, that's gross. I
so,
wouldn't eat
but,
that.
But that's not.
Me.
Is it necessarily gross, or it's just
to me?
It's
it
a
is.
Dessert pizza.
No, I'm not interested
have you ever
in
had
dessert
that?
Pizza.
Have
no.
you ever had breakfast
I've,
pizza?
I've had a dessert pizza before.
I've had s'more pizza.
Yeah, s'more. Yeah, dessert. Yeah, there you go.
It just doesn't look appealing to me.
Not for me, but like I get like a restaurant puts
crap,
on a menu,
crap.
People order it.
Yeah, I'm not going to hate you for eating crap. I'm just not going
just
to follow
like this.
You.
Waddle, do you like a dessert taco?
Choco tacos.
Choco tacos for the win.
Oh, yeah.
Choco tacos
what's
are
a
great.
Choco tacos?
Have you never
he's
been
not
to
good
a 7-Eleven?
He's not good with ice cream, Black.
Oh,
he's the worst ice cream guy there
Choco
is.
Choco taco is an ice cream, like an ice cream bar type of.
Yeah. Okay. You could get the Choco taco from the ice cream truck.
Yeah, but it's not a taco. It's ice cream that's formed into to look like a
but
taco.
But there's my point. It's the vehicle. It's the way you have the food prepared, right? Your pizza, your dessert pizza is not actually a pizza in the true form. It's just desserts
that are
in the form of...
It's on a pizza crust.
Is that an actual dough that you would use for a pizza, or is it some kind of dessert deal?
I mean, like, look, it's from Iowa.
Because a s'more pizza is probably not a true Italian-style pizza dough.
It says here the dessert-style dish and features a sweet cream cheese sauce... mozzarella cheese and fruity cereal, and it's on.
Hold on, they're putting cheese on this?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like a cheesecake, though, isn't that? I mean, cream cheese,
mozzarella cheese.
But
yeah,
there's
like
a difference between
has
now, wait
cheese
a second,
in
wait
it.
A second, wait a second.
Yeah, but it's a different flavor.
A cheesecake, like I love the graham cracker crust of a cheesecake.
Sure.
But this doesn't look like a graham cracker crust. This looks like a regular thin crust pizza that they just dumped crap on.
They're trying to get cute. I mean, what do they got going on in Iowa?
Yeah.
Wow. They got Garza and they got what else they got?
I mean,
what do they got in Iowa right now?
Matt Garza? Matt Garza? Pitcher? Former pitcher for the
Cubs? No, not the former Cub. Oh, no.
Okay.
They got a good college basketball
team. They've got themselves like what, a 7th-ranked team?
And I love the state of Iowa. That my first job was in the state of Iowa.
You couldn't get
what
out
else?
There fast enough. Don't sit here and lie about that. You
that's not
get
true.
To Chicago fast enough.
I loved my time in Iowa. 18 months I was there. I learned how to drink at Southern. I perfected how to drink in Iowa. They can drink in Iowa. They love their beer in Iowa. You play pool, you throw darts, and you drink beer. That's what you do in Iowa. Did you know that?
I guess I grew up in Cincinnati, Iowa. I guess that's what I did then.
You know, Adam Amin and I both started, I mean, years apart. Our first radio station that both of us worked at were like 10 to 15 miles apart in the state of Iowa.
Okay, so let me ask
how weird is that?
Let me ask the question. Who was your crappy program director that sent you on your path and his program director and sent him on his path?
What are you downgrading me?
You're
doing the same damn show as I'm doing, all right?
Yes, I've come to terms with who I am.
Let's not get it twisted. We know who Adam Amin interned for. It was Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah, and we taught him everything he knows, and that's why he's the great broadcaster he is today.
Just ask him.
Is he off your tree?
Absolutely.
You guys have a coaching tree?
100%.
It's a stick. It's a stick.
100%.
No,
it's a stick. Yes.
You stick it.
It's a stick coming up out of the mud is what it is. That's my brother. My brother
who
used
do
to
we
say
have?
Our
we
family
don't have
tree.
Any, do we have anyone better than Adam Amin off of our tree?
No.
I wouldn't know.
You got a toothpick.
We don't even have a toothpick. It's not even wooden. It's plastic. You know what we have is a straw. We have a straw. That's what we have. We don't even have a tree. We don't have a tree. We don't have a stick. We don't have anything.
Abdallah, whose tree are you off of then? Are you off of Sean Salisbury's tree?
No. Oh, no. God, no. Dave, I'm on off the Dave Judah
Dave
tree. I interned for, we pull the curtain back. Sylvia, you once yelled at me for getting you coffee that wasn't hot enough.
Whoa! I didn't yell. That wasn't true.
You wanted me
not,
to go
not
back.
True.
You wanted me to go
shots
back instead of putting it in the microwave.
That's different.
You
that's
wanted me
not
to,
hot enough.
You wanted me to go back instead of putting it in the microwave.
I think I'm off of Dave Ennett's tree. He's the first boss I had in radio. He's the first guy I did anything radio related.
Wow.
I'm off the Dave Ennett tree. Who are you? What tree are you from, Sylvie?
You know the tree I'm from. Come on now.
Are you from the cap tree?
No.
Does he take credit for you?
No, I don't think he'd want to. I don't think he's got a tree too.
Yes. It's plentiful.
I once had an intern who I asked them, hey, can you go get me a tea? I know, make fun of me. A tea.
And they brought you back a t-shirt.
No, they literally took the tap water off the faucet and put a tea bag in it.
No, but to be fair though, Sylvia, your coffee order was
foo-foo-y.
It was pretty bougie. It was pretty bougie.
At night,
extra
my
drizzle?
Night, my well, it used to be because it would be.
Did you really? You took a sip and sent him back?
No, he wanted to. I didn't go back.
Because part of the description was extra hot.
Yeah.
And I said, this ain't extra hot.
Oh, what was it? It was something.
I've seen that order in a Starbucks before.
It was extra hot double cup.
Double cup.
Yeah.
And
hand.
It was different type of milk back in the day when we used to think soy milk was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to get it with soy.
Yeah. I remember those orders.
It was very foo-foo. Oh. Look, guilty. Guilty.
What do you drink now? What do you order now?
I just get basically coffee with a little splash of milk.
There you go. Look at you.
It's all right. Abdallah wasn't alone. I was once sent back to the restaurant that I picked lunch up for because the ketchup that we had here at the station was not good enough. So I had to go back to the restaurant.
It was restaurant quality ketchup.
Yes, and get their ketchup to bring back because the ketchup in the fridge here at the station was not good enough.
Too bad Sylvie's former girlfriend wasn't in the building. She just got reached into her purse and grabbed you a bottle of Heinz 57.
Had some ketchup. I mean, look.
She's hitting the bottle.
Oh,
you know the side of the bottle.
I got you now.
That's the bottle,
are you sure that's the bottle?
I think Chris and I got some good intern stories. I once had to walk around because the same guy that sent Chris back. Needed frozen vegetables for his hurting shoulder because that's what his doctor said. And I remember being like, what's wrong
frozen
with ice?
Peas?
He goes, no, he said frozen vegetables. I go, but ice is the same thing. It's like, just go find some. And this is, I mean, the Loop is kind of a food desert where if you want like frozen vegetables.
Like frozen
there's
vegetables.
No grocery store. There's no grocery
you have to
stores
go to Grand,
in the Loop.
State and Grand, right?
So I'm walking around for like an hour trying to find a place that has frozen vegetables.
Wow.
I've told you guys stories before. Once Carmen and I, with an intern, ordered like dinner when we were on at night. He waited 90 minutes because he sat down and he had food. He had a sit-down meal during our show. And where'd you go? Did you make this yourself? One intern once didn't took the money and he left and he never showed back up.
And this is why we don't have interns.
Right, because we used to run errands.
That's still the ketchup in there? Is that what it is?
Do you want some
ketchup?
You remember the Taste of Chicago Olympics?
Oh, that was good. Waddle, you remember this, right? Carmen and I started it, and you and I continued it. We used to give money to an intern, like $20.
Yeah.
And whoever could bring us back the best just package of food
from
$20.
Yeah, there were different categories. It was like how you spent the money, the amount of stuff you got, the quality of stuff you got.
That's good.
And whoever could do it the fastest, sprinting down.
The good old days.
You know, Chicago, it's 95 degrees.
95
wearing khakis and a button-down. They're sweating
like they stole something.
God, that was
dodging
great.
Cars, running across streets.
Hey, when you start in any business, you got to pay your dues, right? That's what we do. All right, could the Seahawks be open for business? And look, if you want to weigh into what we were just talking about, when you were a grunt in whatever business you started, what was the worst thing your boss ever made you do, if you want to play into this? You just got out of college. You just got a job. Whether you were an intern or you're just a beginner level, what's the worst thing you ever had to do? 332-3776. And we could have good news for the Bears next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Had some good internship stories to start as we were just kind of goofing around before we started the show. And people want to weigh in on that. 332-3776. Just I want to pay this off here and then we'll get into it a little bit. Nothing's imminent, but Mike Silver, who's covered the NFL for many, many years for Yahoo and the NFL Network, he said earlier on the NFL Network that the Seahawks are not happy with the Russell Wilson situation. And Seattle is expected to listen to offers from the quarterback's four preferred teams, Dallas, Chicago, Vegas, and New Orleans. So
doing a little market research.
They could be open for business. I heard Yurko talk. This is going to be a huge, huge dead cap hit for them, especially if it happens before June 1st. But it continues to advance, a big splash possibility for the Bears.
I think what would force their hand more than anything is if Russ really, truly gave them the impression he wasn't going to play this year.
Yes, and he hasn't even officially demanded a trade yet. Remember what his agent said.
Right.
So 332-3776, we'll get into that. That's not going anywhere, and neither are we. But we were asking you, based on our conversations, like not every job has started with an internship. Like some people just get into entry level positions. So what's your best grunt level position story? Andy in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Andy.
What's going on, boys? How you doing?
We're great.
So I was not an intern, but this was kind of like me trying to like help out. So I was working for Windy City Bulls and we were having like the Lingerie Football League was coming to the arena to have their, like, Chicago Blitz was going to have a game. So they had, like, reached out to us and was like, hey, you know, if any of you guys can help us run this, you know, game, let us know, and blah, 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 we'll pay you. So I was like, yeah, sure, you know, I'll help out. So I get there, and I'm talking to the guy who's in charge, the boss, and he's telling me, okay, hey, you know, I need you to run upstairs and help this guy out with something. So me trying to, you know, make a good impression and, you know, help everyone out. I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. So I take the elevator up and I'm up in the Sears Center and the doors over the elevator open and I'm up on the catwalks and I'm like deathly afraid of heights. Like I don't do heights. I don't even like walking around like at the mall too close to the railing. So now I'm like 200, 250 feet up in the air. And I can see everyone kind of like walking.
Andy, real quick, can I ask you something?
Uh-huh.
When you were in the elevator for an extended period of time going that high up, didn't you feel like there was something that may be going wrong?
Well, so there's different like camera wells at the arena. So like I haven't like been
everywhere in that arena. But so, like, my impression was I was going to, like, help set up a camera or help set up a shot, you know, whatever. So I finally, you know, I get up there, and it's, like, the crated, like, walkway. So you can see everything underneath you. And then there's just the two bars, like, handles. So I'm up there, man, and I'm, like, sweating. And I feel like I'm either going to, one, pass out, or two, poop my pants because I'm freaking out.
Or three, and both.
Or three, both. And then so finally we have to hang this banner because the guy, they had just won the championship, Chicago Bliss. So we're dropping the banner. Finally we get done. I have to, like, almost crawl back to the elevator. The elevator goes down. I step out of the elevator, and the boss is there, and I'm drenched in sweat. And the guy goes, well, you know, what's wrong? And I was like, dude, I can't do heights. He's like, oh, well, why didn't you just tell me that? So, you know, so it was one of those stories where I literally felt like I was going to die. Yeah. And so it was
Waddle, you're the same, Andy.
I can't stand it. Like when we used to go up to the 95th floor on the Hancock building.
That's weird because we're inside, though. I mean,
still, like, I can't even get up close to the wind. Like, if I couldn't lean, I struggle to lean against the window up there that high.
I remember when I went to Riverfront Stadium as a kid, we had upper deck seats for a Cubs Reds game, Waddle. That was high up there. I got nervous as a little kid.
When I was a kid, my first jobs were when my dad had a place that he worked at. I had to push a lawnmower that was like a 2.5-acre lot that had need to be mowed once a week, and all they had was a push mower, so I had to do that. And I had to paint the entire inside of it was a metal manufacturing shop. They were cinder blocks, and I was putting lead paint on the walls for an entire gigantic warehouse cinder block. I have hot, like, machine cutting, these tools machines that cut tools. There's hot oil dripping all over me. I'm putting lead paint on the walls. It truly explains a lot in terms of my behavior over the course of the following 30 years or 40 years. But that was my first introduction into being an employee.
Sounds like something the Bears would make you do in the offseason.
No doubt.
Mike in Berwyn, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, guys. It's Detroit Mike. So back before I moved to Chicago, I was a plumber. Well, I still am. But my second week on the job back in Detroit, I'm an apprentice. And we go up to Bloomfield Hills. It's like the Lake Forest of Detroit. This guy dug out his old pool because he wants to put in a pool that's twice the size. But he finds this 4-inch pipe that's in the way, and there's a hole in the pipe. You can see standing water in it. So obviously it's a sewer. We go out there. My boss says, okay, kid, get in the hole, get on this ladder, and cut that pipe. Let's drain all the sewage out so we can move that thing and get it out of the way of the pool. Raining out, I'm on a metal ladder in a pool ditch. I'm cutting, and nothing's happening. This guy that I worked for was crazy. He starts getting pissed off. Screams at me. He's like, would you lean on it, you sissy? So I lean on it, and a 6-foot flame comes shooting out of the pipe. It turns out it's a 440 line coming off the pole that feeds his pool house and his regular house.
So it was actually a gas line?
No, no. It was a 440 electric line. That's twice the amount of amperage to run it. Yeah. And I still have the melted sawzall blade on my tool bench in my basement 22 years later.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We're riding away in the truck, and I'm sweating. I'm looking out the window like I almost just died, and he's laughing. He's like, come on, kid. You didn't die. It's a story you get to tell. So here I am telling Waddle and Silver.
There you go.
You thought you were going to, wait a second, Mike. You thought you were going to cut this pipe and all of a sudden you were going to be the poop guy because all the sewage was going to come flying at you. Instead, you cut a big electrical line and you almost electrocute yourself.
Exactly. And I've got plenty of stories where I've been the poop guy. So that's just the tip of the ice cube.
Yeah. Thank you. Good stuff.
Good to have you around still, Mike.
I thought it was bad to go back and get ketchup. Jeez.
Yeah, right.
Guess I had a good.
Yeah, you did.
No, right. Some of these blue-collar jobs, man. I mean, Derek in Indiana, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're good. Thanks.
Hey, back in the mid-'80s during the airline, United Airlines expansion, I was working as an electrician apprentice. So I show up at the job site, brand new tool bag, brand new tools, ready to work. Apprentice, the guys looked at me and said, hey, what are you doing with that bag? I said, I came to work. He said, you don't work. You go get us coffee and donuts. So I'm going down at O'Hare to one of the restaurants to get coffee and donuts. come back with the donuts. I say, okay, can I work now? No. Go over there and get our tools out of the truck for us. So I go get their tools out of the truck. Lunchtime come, had to go get lunch. So this went on for about 6 weeks before I could even touch a tool to do any work.
Sounds like being a part of the Bears as a rookie back in the late 90s, late 80s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And finally, I do get to do work. I don't know if you guys know what a trencher is. It's a trencher that we use for digging lines to drop cable in or conduit. So me and another four other apprentices, they said, take these spade shovels and start digging a hole for this conduit to go in. So we all looked at each other and like, well, there's a trencher over there. How come we can't use a trencher? He said, hey, boy, you want to work here? Dig the trench for the piping. So we're out there. It had to be about 90-something degrees, and we're out there digging trenches for conduit. And a trencher is sitting right over there on the side that could have been used to dig the trench to put the conduit in.
Oh, boy. Oh, my.
Yeah. And we're doing it all by hand and sweating our butts off like, wait, why can't we use a trencher? So next day, same thing. So eventually, 2 weeks later, we ended up using the trencher to run conduit. But come to find out, the trencher didn't work. So we still had to dig by hand. So it was a mess. And we were out there for like a year and a half. And finally, you know, I got to do electrical work, and now I own my own company as an electrical
guy. There you go. Smart. It all paid off. Nah, perfect.
There you go.
It all paid off. You have to pay your dues, because when you're there with the journeyman, you know, that's how you learn your trade.
Oh, yeah.
You pay your dues.
You don't learn what you need to learn when you're, you know, in the classroom. That's just the basics. The journeymen are the ones that teach you what you need to do when you're out in the field.
On the football field.
Yeah. You need your helmet. You need your shoulder pads carried. What else do I need to do for you?
Yeah. All right. If you want to continue to call 332-3776, be our guest. I've got a letter I want to present you guys.
Oh, you got a letter?
I got a letter from a listener, and he sent it to someone that we all know.
Dear Mark.
And he got a response. I will share that with you. This is good, and it's coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You know, when we had George McCaskey on, he mentioned that he gets letters from fans and he tries to respond to them, emails. Didn't he talk about hate mail? He said, you should see my hate mail or something like that.
Listen, you and I are on the same page. I think he's a conscientious owner and he cares. They just haven't made good decisions collectively over the course of the last several decades.
Uh-oh, George.
George. This is actually, I think, a pretty good letter. One of our listeners, his name is Mick. And he tweeted, you could read all the letters. He has posted pictures of them online. Other people have come forward, too, saying, hey, this is a response to one of my letters. Like, wasn't there one guy who said that he was going to be a Chargers fan? And he's like, at least you have a good quarterback in Justin
Herbert.
Yeah, I
think so. I do.
But we didn't know if that was real or not.
Right.
This looks pretty real. So you want to hear the letter that Mick wrote?
Sure.
I think he did a good job.
Read me a letter.
Dear Mr. McCaskey, I'm an avid Chicago Bears fan, and I have been for as long as I can remember. I was born and raised in Chicago and know thousands of Bears fans. This guy knows thousands of Bears fans. I understand that you think you have a good pulse of the fans, but that, unfortunately, is where you are wrong. Out of the thousands of Bears fans that I know, I've yet to meet one that thinks keeping Ted Phillips as the president and CEO of the Chicago Bears is a good idea. Ted Phillips is a CPA and has no business being the CEO and president of my favorite football
team. By the
way,
Real, can I interject? It sounds like you wrote this, but go ahead. Like, with the emphatic,
that's why I like this letter.
The emphatic nature of which you're reading it leads me to believe that maybe you guys collaborated on it.
Yeah. Ted Phillips is a CPA and has no business being the CEO and president of my favorite football team. I know your response to that would be, Ted Phillips doesn't meddle in football decisions. To me and thousands of Bears fans, that makes no sense. Because even you have said he deals with the hiring and firing processes and the GM directly reports to him. Those are football decisions. End of story. How does Ted go through a performance review with a resume of 21 years of holding the position, 24 different starting quarterbacks, 15 seasons at or below 500, 6 playoff appearances, 3 playoff wins, and 0 Super Bowl wins? You thinking this is me? Is that what you're saying?
Signed, Mark Aaron Silverman.
Every single company or organization would fire anybody with that poor of a performance review. Secondly, it doesn't matter how amazing your culture is if you are not winning enough games. Ted Phillips has been given 21 years to try and to do something with this beloved franchise, and he has not proven anything besides that he is horrible at whatever job he is doing. I hope you can understand me and all my fellow Bears fans' concerns and frustrations, as we have been rooting for a team who has given us nothing in return for all of our loyalty. 1985 was 35 years ago, and half of your fans from then are dead.
Oh, boy.
This is a
signed Mark Aaron Silverman.
And this is wrapping up here. This is a new era of Bears fans, and we will not stand for you or Ted to be involved in the team decisions such as hiring and firing. The fans got rid of Gar Forman and John Paxson. Please do not make us do the same for you and Ted. Sell the team.
George is an owner. I mean, Gar and Paxson, neither one had ownership.
He's making his demands here to wrap up.
Okay.
Sell the team. Liquidate your only asset, the Chicago Bears organization, and please stop this long stint of mediocrity. Now, there is a caveat. If you bring Deshaun Watson to Chicago, a majority of fans will forgive you and Ted. I do not care how much it takes. Get it done and bring a proven quarterback to Chicago. Do what is right and make your grandpa proud. Bear down.
Now I know you wrote the letter.
Uh-oh, George.
Stop. Collaborate and listen.
George responded March 2nd, 2001. You want to hear what George
is? Yes, of course.
Dear Mick, go pound sand. Sincerely, George H. McCaskey.
No, he would not do that.
Dear Mick, thank you for your recent letter and for being a longtime avid Bears fan. While it was difficult to read your criticisms, it's important that we get feedback from fans. We may disagree about how to get there, but we all want the same thing, for your Bears to be winners. Everyone at Hallis Hall is doing everything they can to make that happen. Bear down, George H. McCaskey.
How do you describe the handwriting?
I'd say 8th grade-ish.
Wow.
No, that's the handwriting of a kid that you know you're going to have to do extra work for.
Are you talking about the guy, Mick, who wrote the article?
No, Mick typed it.
Yeah,
oh, Mick typed like a professional.
It. No, I think there's a level of personal.
Sure.
Give a handwriting analysis for us.
I would say this to you. I have recognized in my own handwriting, the older I've gotten, the more reckless and awful it is.
Like, I would say it's average handwriting. I don't think it's terrible, nor do I think it's good.
I know you're judging on a curve because I've seen your handwriting.
I think the important issue here is actually that George responded, not that he doesn't write well or his penmanship isn't.
I'm just saying I would like Sylvie to give us a handwriting analysis.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just like, it was nowhere near as glorious as the White Sox starting lineup from a couple of days ago.
Gosh, yeah.
Beautiful.
I think we found out it was Jerry Nairn. Okay. Someone said that it was Jerry Nairn who came up with that calligraphy lineup. I don't know if that's going to be
the norm. I think that it has been the norm.
I've seen it more than a few times.
And they're playing right now. We'll get you a Sox update, but... so there he is. I love that. He not only went in, he went all in. Ted stinks. Yeah, I want you to sell the team, but there is one way you all can keep your team and Ted can keep his job. You bring us Deshaun Watson, mister. good for Mick.
I got a letter from someone I may tell you off the air who it came from. You'll know indirectly. This is the funniest part of the whole story is he's a family friend. He sent me a note. When I opened it up, it looked like a handwritten note. And then I realized it was a mimeographed copy. It was a copy of a handwritten note that he had written. So he wrote the note, and he's probably listening right now. And then he copied it and sent it to me. But the essence of his message was he wants me to spearhead the move so that the McCaskey family would sell a portion of the team to a group led by Michael Jordan, who would then purchase Arlington Racetrack and finance the building of a state-of-the-art new stadium.
Why Michael, though? I mean, is Michael interested?
Because Michael, he thought that, having the cachet and the money that Michael has and the people he knows, he could put together a group that would, could spearhead, an ownership crew that would come in and help take away some of the burden. Listen, it's not my idea. It was somebody else's.
No, I'm confused. He wrote a letter to you, but he copied it, and then I don't understand. What do you mean he copied it?
He photocopied it? Yes, he took it. He wrote a handwritten letter and then put it in a copy machine and sent me the copy version. I guess he kept the original.
Do you think he sent that out to a bunch of his friends and he just put Tom on the top?
I'll have to go home. It's still on my desk at home.
Said it's all the Toms he knows. Maybe he knows a bunch of Toms. I don't
actually,
know.
Tom
Thayer.
I'll look
Tom
at it again. To be honest with you, I thought when it came to financing a project like a $3 billion stadium, I actually thought it was a pretty unique and cool idea.
Okay.
We're up against it here, but when we come back, Mick has called in.
Oh, Mick, the guy who...
The author of
the letter. Love this. I want to talk to this guy. Not only did he go all in on George and tell him that he needs to sell the team and Ted needs to be fired, but he had a list of one demand. You get to keep everything if you bring us Deshaun Watson.
All is forgotten.
Yeah. We'll talk to him coming up and tell you about free agency as well, which many people are starting to say will be the wildest free agency in the NFL that we've ever seen. That's next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at the Home Loan Expert. Last year, their average client received almost $40,000 of closing from Easy Cash Out Refinance. Contact Ryan Kelly at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, we're talking some Bears here. Before we get to our caller who wrote the letter to George McCaskey and had a demand of George acquiring Deshaun Watson, or else he has to sell the team, and George responded, I want to play you this from, is this Michael Bidwell? Is that who the Bidwell is speaking here? I think he is now the owner of
the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, the Bidwell family has owned the Cardinals for years, but there's been, the dad and the grandfather. It's been Bill Bidwell used to be the team owner, and he died, I think, a year or two ago. So I believe this is Michael Bidwell. He was on Sirius XM, and he was talking. And remember, they just got J.J. Watt.
By the way, he's listed as the principal owner, chairman, and president of the Cardinals.
Yeah, so he was on, and he was talking about what this free agency is going to be like with all these teams are up against the cap. The cap is shrinking. So listen to what he thinks this is going to be like here in just about a week when free agency opens.
It's going to be a seismic shift in talent across the NFL. You've got teams that are projected to be well over the cap. You've got teams projected to be well under. I know every free agent or potential free agent out there is thinking, well, they're not going to get released, but, they're going to be a bunch of surprises for people when everybody has to get under the cap and free agency starts. I see a big shift, seismic shift in terms of talent moving around.
How about that?
Yeah, listen, we talked about this as the 2020 season was coming to a close. that 2021 free agency was going to be really, really interesting because so many teams are going to find themselves in precarious salary cap situations where you're going to have accomplished veterans that can still contribute. They're going to find themselves the victims of salary cap purges, and you're going to be able to upgrade your team at least in the short run pretty quickly if you've got some flexibility, because there are going to be a lot of guys that are going to be cut loose. Now, you're not going to sign these guys in a lot of instances to long-term contracts because I don't think a lot of the guys would want them. They're going to let the market reset after the 2021 constriction and then look after the 2021 season to become free agents again.
Right. Because the cap should go, will the cap go up then back to where it was supposed to be a couple of, you know, this year?
It will be significantly higher. If people are in the stands and everything goes the way that is expected to go, the salary cap will increase dramatically for the 2022 season.
I want everyone to think of this, and we could go around the room later in the show. I want everyone to think of who they think could be the biggest surprise by the Bears. He's talking about, like, this bloodletting, all these guys getting released. I've seen other former executives on Twitter say that all these guys think it's not going to be them, but for many of them, it will be them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you guys to think who it could be on the Bears. Remember, they're up. We know Jimmy Graham. We know that. We know we just saw Buster Screen. I want you to think who the biggest surprise on the Bears could be. Mick is calling in. He was the guy who wrote the letter. He is on ESPN 1000's Waddle and Sylvie. Thank you for sending that to us, too, by the way, on Twitter.
Absolutely. Sylvie, I just wanted to say I'm glad to hear you're doing much better and you're going to be in the office soon. That's awesome for the whole city.
Thanks, Mick. I appreciate you. So tell everyone.
Absolutely.
Tell everyone about the letter I just read.
I wrote that all the way back in February. So that was before all this Russell Wilson nonsense, and I would have added his name in there too. So it took a little bit for George to respond, but it's pretty cool when you get a letter handwritten from the owner of your favorite NFL team.
That's what I said, Mick. I know that you're upset like a lot of Bears fans about their lack of continued and consistent success, but it is, I guess it's the booby prize when your team isn't very good, but at least the owner will respond to your letter.
Yeah, you know, it's bittersweet. I have to watch a pretty crappy team on the field, but the owner's cool and the culture's great, so send me a letter.
Well, look, I am glad you hit some really big points about Ted, and that's what we've been preaching on this show for a long time now, that, you know, they just want to sweep it under the rug, that they've got to make better football decisions. But this has been an internal problem with decision-making up at Hallis Hall for better than 20 years.
You're absolutely right, Sylvie. You know, I've been listening to your show with my dad growing up, and I guess you've molded my mind a little bit. We kind of have similar thoughts on the Bears, and I guess you kind of wrote that letter in a sense.
That's a dangerous thought, too, Mick, by the way. Thanks for calling, and thanks for hitting us up on Twitter.
Absolutely. Bear down.
There you go. There's Mick, who still loves his Bears. He's man enough to write letters and make demands and for Deshaun Watson, but how does he end his call?
Well, he has a bottle of Pinot Noir and goes to a gentleman's club.
That's me.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, he ends it with bear down.
Yeah, I mean, bear down.
Because you know why? They've got us by the you-know-whats. That's why.
Listen, I've seen letters that have been sent that are significantly more mean-spirited than Mick's. I didn't think Mick's letter was mean-spirited. I thought it was blunt. It was to the point.
Right, right. It was from the heart.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so we will talk to Jesse Rogers coming up regarding the Cubs, regarding attendance. There was an interesting note today I saw from one of the rivals of the Cubs who are going to start letting in fans, and by a pretty big portion, too. Will that happen at Wrigley? Will that happen at Guaranteed Rate? We'll discuss with Jesse in 2 short minutes.